Species.
Unite. You use like just regular super glue, so you can just like hide it wherever in your pocket, just a little tube of super glue, and then stick your hand onto like the fence. Or I could like glue onto another person if they're glued onto something else, or if it's like a line of people, they could all be glued on together, so then it's really hard for the police to drag them off the track.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. This conversation is with Rose Patterson. Rose is part of Animal Rising, which used to be called Animal Rebellion until April. And since April, which is only 3 or 4 months ago, they've exploded. They're everywhere in the UK. They've disrupted horse races, greyhound races. They've broken into labs. They've stolen beagles. They've stolen King Charles's lambs. And they've received a huge amount of press because of their actions. They get a ton of TV time. And in doing so, conversations about how we treat animals, and not just in the ways mentioned above, but in our food system, are taking place all over the media in the UK. Animal Rising is changing the whole game for what activism looks like. Rose and I met a few weeks ago in London, where she lives. She had just tried and failed to go on a trip to the US.
We flew to San Francisco. They turned us away. It was bad. It was so depressing.
Oh my God, so that is horrible. Did you just have to get back on a plane?
Yeah, they kept us in customs for 7 hours, interviewed us like 6 times. Like, they were like quite intimidating. I wasn't sure if I was going to get arrested or what. And they were looking through my notebook, and I had loads of notes about actions and stuff that I was going to talk about at the conference. And then wanted to get into my phone, and they were trying to get my passcode, and I refused. Yeah, at least they paid for the flight back, but yeah, it was sad.
What did they think you were going to do?
I think they thought we were going to like organize protests or something, and yeah, because I guess they looked up DXE, and they Googled us as well, and it didn't look good, so yeah.
Hi, Rose. It's really nice to meet you.
You too. I'm really excited to be here.
I want to talk about some of the stuff that you are doing and have been doing, because it's not without jail and not without people getting hurt, you know, not you guys hurting people, but you guys getting hurt. There's a lot of risk. You're putting yourselves out there and you don't know what's going to happen every time either. Can you take us through like some of the things, maybe start with the horse racing, because that's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Our first like big action as Animal Rising was when we targeted the Grand National, which is like the biggest horse race in the UK, maybe even the world, millions of viewers all over the world. So we knew it was going to get like a lot of press. They have, I think it's like hundreds of millions of pounds worth of bets on this one big race on that day as well. So there's a lot of money involved. I guess it's an issue that it's fairly easy to get the public on side. A lot of people in the UK are against horse racing. Like, people love horses and don't like seeing them falling and dying. The horse is dying like every other day in horse racing in the UK, which is crazy.
In the US too.
It's just one of those issues. It's just like, we don't need it. It's not necessary. And so, yeah, it's quite an easy subject to get the public on side. And so, yeah, we thought this would be like a great action to start with.
And then what was the plan?
The original plan was to get, I think we said 100 to 200 people on the track, putting our bodies on the line to stop the horse race. We wanted to have this like image of people holding hands and walking along the track and just sitting down and being, very calm. But then I think it was 2 or 3 weeks before the race. So we run these like non-violence training. Non-violence is like a huge part of what we do. That's everything. Everyone that takes part in actions has to go through one of these trainings to make sure everyone stays completely peaceful, no matter what happens. So if we get, if we receive like aggression or violence from the public or police, everyone has to remain completely non-violent. And so these trainings are quite open. And a journalist from The Mail on Sunday, which is like a huge newspaper in the UK, showed up at one of my trainings. And then I think it was like a week later, we were on the front page of The Mail on Sunday. And I remember seeing it the night before it came out, before it was printed. We found out online that this was coming out. I felt so sick. And then actually we were like, wait, this is amazing. We're on the front page of a national newspaper before we've even done anything. All we've done is said that we're going to do something. So we managed to completely spin it around and like take control. And it was actually like the best thing that could have happened.
How so?
So, well, it was just like the drama that it created beforehand. So we got so many interviews before the Grand National, more interviews. I think it was more interviews than we even got in the whole of last year, just in like a matter of days. Just because we said we're going to disrupt the Grand National, because it is such like a big event. So because obviously it was out, all out in the open, the police were really, really heavy. They had helicopters, they had quad bikes, they had like hundreds of police vans driving, like patrolling the whole place. Like it was, they spent so much money on like security and everything. And people still managed to get on the tracks. We had over 100 people all in like pink Animal Rising t-shirts, climbing over fences, getting on the track. I think in the end round, I think it was like 5 people actually were running on the track. Yeah, this got like national press again and like tons of interviews. Of course, we want to stop horse racing, but that's not the only reason we're doing that. We're there to, yeah, talk about how awful like horse racing and animals are used, how animals are used in entertainment, but also we want to start this national conversation about how we're treating animals in general, and that includes animals that are farmed for food, animals that are tested on, animals that we use for clothing. Yeah, we're managing to do that through those interviews on TV and radio and everything.
Yeah, you guys are getting a ton of press.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of people who are really angry at what you're doing.
Mm.
And the things I've seen, all of you who've been interviewed, have been amazing in terms of like staying calm and being really rational.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's rational. Like, we don't want to torture animals.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really simple.
And it's amazing what a rise you get out of these people, though, who just can't seem to grasp it.
Mm-hmm. I think just getting people to talk, and a lot of people agree with the message, but they just focus on the tactics. And I don't mind if people hate me because I ran on a track. That's fine, as long as, yeah, we can have that conversation about animals. And I think most people agree, at least with the horse racing story. I know it's still a long way away from people completely agreeing with getting rid of animal agriculture and meat and things. But yeah, we're having that conversation at least.
Were people arrested that day?
Yeah, 118 people were arrested.
That's amazing. And did anyone end up in jail?
So for that action, no. The only person that's been sent to prison it's like remand is Ben Newman, who is currently in prison at the moment, and that was for the Epsom Derby. So that was like another horse race, and he was the only one that got on the track that day because, yeah, again, the police presence was really, really heavy. We are seeing like a lot of repression from the police. He was the only one that managed to get on the track that day and has now been put on remand, which means that he's basically waiting to go on trial.
What are they charging him with?
I believe it was either conspiracy to cause public nuisance or just public nuisance, basically preventing people from enjoying lawful activity, something along those lines.
And I saw too, I don't know if it was that one, the police are being really aggressive. Like, people are getting hurt.
I don't think we expected it to be that bad with the Grand National. Police actually broke someone's collarbone. I think they got like rugby tackled as they were trying to get onto the track. We had other people getting like, a lot of injuries, a lot of cuts and bruises. The police were really aggressive. And yeah, obviously they were briefed to, I think it was just like, just do whatever you can to stop us from getting on the tracks. Because obviously it looked really bad on them as well if we succeeded, and we did. It is something that we talk about in trainings and try and prepare people for as much as possible. And yeah, it is serious, and it's definitely not for everyone as well. It also, I think it just gives us like, I guess like legitimacy, and also I guess more sympathy from the public as well when they see how much people are giving to stop these races. And to, yeah, they're literally putting their bodies on the line. They're putting their freedom on the line as well. People are ending up in prison for this.
I think one thing too that's different, I had Ronnie Lee on a couple months ago, and we were talking a lot about the 70s because that's when he was doing activism, when he was going to jail in prison. Even though they weren't hurting anybody, there was still a lot of violence, right, in terms of like blowing stuff up and lighting stuff on fire. And you guys aren't doing any violence, but it feels like the police are acting as if that you are.
I think it shows that what we're doing is working.
Yeah.
They're taking it really, really seriously. Yeah. Especially like compared to like, a couple of years ago, we were doing like similar things like blockading McDonald's distribution centers. And I think it's really since groups like Just Stop Oil and Insulate Britain have started doing things like blocking roads. We disrupted like the dairy industry last year as well, majorly.
Will you tell that story?
That was something that we openly announced to the public as well, and began creating like that drama like months beforehand. So we announced that we're going to stop the supply of dairy in the UK. We're just like, anyone that wants to sign up for a non-violence training, come on board and help us stop the supply. And we trained up, I think it was almost 200 people. We were pretty open about what we were going to do and the dates and things, but we just didn't say exactly which distribution centres or where we were going to blockade. We went to like key distribution centres in the south of the UK, suppliers like Arla and Müller, so like the two biggest dairy distribution companies in the UK. We had about 150 people over 2 weeks. Well, it was almost 2 weeks. Day after day, blockading these milk distribution centres, stopping the milk from going from, they're basically milk packaging centres, and then they go directly to supermarkets. And our aim was to see empty shelves in supermarkets. And we did manage that. It was so difficult. The police, it was madness at sometimes.
Oh, were they like carrying you out of there? Or?
I mean, they were trying to stop us from getting there in the first place, like stopping minibuses. I guess like they developed their tactics quite quickly. So they were able to remove people from trucks. So if we were like stopped a truck, climb on top of the truck, they would remove us quite quickly. It did become like harder and harder. I think we kind of expected it as well. But yeah, the fact that we did still manage to see empty supermarket shelves. And yeah, it was also like a transformative experience for everyone that took part in it as well. Because it was like over a week and we're all living together and going out and taking action. I guess it just didn't get as much press as, and like with the amount of effort, time and effort that had to go into that, the things that do get the press are, like I said before, like the controversial actions. Because shortly after that, we went and poured milk on the floor in a supermarket, and that got way more press. So I was like, oh, that was all we needed to do.
Are you kidding?
No, that got like loads of press and interviews and things, just because it's like a weird thing to see. It's out of the ordinary. I guess it's something that affects the general public as well. So like the public, I don't know, in the UK, I'm sure most Western countries have this relationship with milk, and it's like everyone, I don't know, feels a need to have milk or whatever. And seeing milk being poured on the floor in a supermarket is shocking to people.
That's so funny. But it starts these conversations, and it gets you guys on TV, and it gets you guys interviews, and especially interviews with people who are fighting you, because it's such a podium to be in front of to talk about what we're really doing to animals, which is so hard for 90% of the population to have, just to see it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure every time you do one of these, you're affecting people, right? Which is enormous. And what about the because you're in labs too, right? With the beagles. Mm-hmm. Will you talk about that?
We've actually done two beagle rescues now from the same location. So there's a place in the UK called MBR Acres. And this is a beagle breeding facility. It's like the biggest one in the UK. I think there are only a couple now. And so there are hundreds of beagle puppies being born into this. It's just a big breeding facility. So they don't do the experiments there. They then get like shipped off to labs around the UK. That's where they get experimented on for like medicine or scientific experiments and things. Yeah, it's just so unnecessary. We don't need to be testing on animals anymore. We have alternatives. To highlight this, we know that the public are going to have that connection with dogs more than they do with other animals. So it's just another way of starting that conversation and getting the public on side, talking about dogs and how we're treating them. And then we can also talk about how we're treating all the other animals that we exploit. With the rescues, this place, it hasn't been, I don't think there's been a rescue there since, I don't know if it was the 90s or early 2000s, but it's known for like being like heavily secure. There's like 24-hour security, barbed wire fences and things around the outside. Everyone told us it's impossible. So we're like, okay, well, then we have to try it. If anyone's going to do it, we're going to do it.
How did you do it?
The first time there was like an occupation the day before. So like a big group of us, around 20 people, just went in, got like a big banner out and had like a drone flying around, and it was just like a load of people occupying the space, and we managed to get like loads of footage from the inside, footage of like the doors and the windows and things like that. We could actually put our hands through like the there's like small window like vent things. We could put our hands inside, and the puppies would like come up and like licking our hands and things, and It was just like horrible having to leave there. And then most of us got arrested for trespass there. And then that night, the police just thought everyone had gone home, a small group of people. So it was just three people, Dan, Beau and Ben, went in, just literally climbed over the fence. I think they went over the fence or through the fence. I think they may have cut a hole. Somehow the security didn't notice straight away. They managed to break in through one of the doors, get three puppies, so one each, and then just ran. And as we're completely non-violent and hold ourselves accountable for every action we do, they then went, once the puppies were safe, they went and handed themselves into a police station and said, this is what we've done. It was actually quite hard for them to get arrested because I think they were quite confused.
Part of it.
Yeah, on our social media, there's footage of them trying to hand themselves in. Apparently, it took like 2 hours to get inside the police station. And then, so yeah, now I believe the charges have been dropped. And then in December, we thought,
and the puppies are safe.
Oh yeah, they're fine. They're all good. Actually, yeah, got a report the other day, and yeah, they're really good. And yeah, then we decided in December, that place is still open, nothing's happened, and we need to get more people and take more puppies. And so, yeah, this time, yeah, we had a bigger group of people. I think it was around 12 of us, I'm not sure. Again, just kind of came in from two sides, over and through the fence, and managed to get inside. This time, like, there was more security. Yeah, they were, like, physically trying to stop us. It was, like, yeah, everyone stayed totally nonviolent. Everyone was amazing. And it was really hard with, like, the security literally trying to pull puppies from our arms. We managed to get 18 out of there, and I was actually running through a field with a puppy in my arms, and I was actually caught by the police in the middle of the field, and they kind of like dragged me to the floor and took the puppy off me. So that one we named Love, and there was another one called Libby that the police also took. That was like obviously an awful experience, but at least, yeah, I just know that, yeah, I tried my best. And yeah, this was like kind of, it was pushing it, to be fair, because we'd been there for quite a while. We'd got a lot out, and then I just didn't know that the police had already arrived. And yeah, I was just like, might as well try and get more. So that was horrible. There wasn't anything I could do. They took puppy from me, but it also meant that two others could run away. So mine was kind of sacrificed. It was horrible. While another two people were able to run away with two more puppies. And then everyone came back onto the site and handed themselves in on the site that time. So puppies got away and then came back onto the site, got arrested. So the police took Love and Libby into police custody. And it kind of created this like trigger event where loads of people were rallying around. We had like a protest at Cambridgeshire Police Station and trying to release Love and Libby. In the end, they sent them back to MBR Acres, which is like, yeah, it was awful. It was kind of this dilemma for them. I mean, they look like awful now because they've sent the dogs back to MBR. It doesn't look good for them. And obviously, if they've been released, they could have looked good and the dogs would have lived. So yeah, they said it wasn't up to them and they had no other choice. But I don't know. I don't believe that that's true. It still brought lots of people together.
And I'm sure it created a big stir in the general public, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it didn't get as much press as we hoped, I think, because it didn't affect the public that much. Whereas with horse racing and the milk stuff, that affects the public. But with this is kind of hidden and lots of people don't know about it. And like, yeah, I think it would have, like, the people that saw it, it would have woken a lot of people up to what's happening in animal testing. But yeah, it didn't. It's never going to get like the front page news with that kind of thing, which is really, really sad. Yeah, it's awful.
Tell me what's behind when you turn yourselves in. Like, what is that, just to be accountable, responsible?
Yeah. So, yeah, as we're like practicing nonviolence, yeah, it's all about accountability and being responsible for our actions. And because we know that we're not doing anything wrong, we're on the right side of history. For the Beagle actions, the purpose was to get testing on trial. So we want to go to court in front of a jury and have 12 of our peers find us. Well, I mean, I would expect members of the public would find us not guilty. We're literally saving animal lives, right, like the lives of
especially
these
puppies. Especially
dogs. Exactly. Yeah, maybe a bit different if it was like chickens or something, it'd be harder to sell. But yeah, with dogs, we want to put testing on trial. We want to say we did the right thing. Even if they find us guilty, like, I would go to prison for that. Like, that's fine. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I saved a life. It's totally worth it. All of our actions, we're always accountable. It's not about covering our identity, our faces or anything. We're just regular people. There's nothing special about me. I know that I've got the opportunity to do something. And so I feel I'm like obliged to do it. It also like builds trust with the public as well. And it's a form of sacrifice as well. Like,
which is also so different than the way things were back in the day with a lot of organizations in terms of the secrecy, and everything was kind of covert, which probably kind of helped the case of government against animal rights organizations calling them terrorists and whatnot, because they operated so covertly.
Yeah.
but you guys are operating very openly and they're still treating you pretty badly.
But I think it still helps our case. We're not trying to get away, like do things and then run away, and we're not hiding our faces. And yeah, people can see we're just regular people. I don't think the public are buying this story of us being terrorists or anything. Like they know we're not.
No.
I think that narrative is, yeah, I don't think that's working. It only helps us in terms of, yeah, the police repression side of things, but also to like help mobilize people as well. We're trying to build like this mass movement, and we want other regular people just to come on board and like take part either in actions or support us in some other way.
Say I wanted to take, like I wanted to join, I wanted to take part. What do I do?
Yeah, so I'd recommend anyone come, no matter like who you are or if you want to get arrested or anything like that, come to a nonviolence training, because like it's such an amazing experience.
Will you talk about what happens there?
There's actually a clip of my training on the Daily Mail or like the Mail on Sunday website if you want to see from the undercover footage. So we have like these trainings all over the country so that you can find like your local group and like connect with people that you live nearby. So yeah, you sign up via like our website. So there's a form you fill in, and then we put you in touch with the local coordinator. Usually it's like a full day session, although we're trying to do some more like shorter ones because I know like a whole day is a lot to commit to. And then in these sessions, we first half is like more talking and going through like the theory of nonviolence, why we use nonviolence, a lot about like the civil rights movement, why, how it worked for them. And because like that's what a lot of our like philosophy is like based on. And then the second half of the day, which is the more fun part, is where we do like scenario trainings. So depending on what action is coming up, so for example, with the Grand National and like the horse race stuff, we ask people to, or like we kind of like make these scenarios. So it's like pretending to get onto the track and having to get past security, but remaining nonviolent and not using force against security and things like that. And yeah, we kind of make it extreme so that it's everyone's prepared for like worst case scenario, basically. And yeah, I think by the end of the day, everyone, some people at the beginning is like, yeah, I'm never going to take action. And then by the end of the day, it's like almost 100% everyone wants to take action because
really?
It's just so much fun and you feel like so empowered. And yeah, I think it just helps people to understand.
Especially because if you didn't do the training and someone comes after you really aggressively, even if it's a cop or security, you're going to want to fight back.
Yeah.
Doing this has got to be incredibly empowering, learning how to just be in it.
Exactly. Yeah. You see like people really, really transform. And yeah, there are various other actions. Like, yeah, it's not all, I think like the horse racing is like a quite a big, it sounds like quite a big and scary action if it's your first action. But we do less intense actions, like supermarket sit-ins or restaurant sit-ins where it's, which is still like you're facing the public and you're right next to the public. But yeah, it's basically just going into a restaurant, sitting down. So like a restaurant that serves animal products. Normally like a high-end one like Gordon Ramsay or like some like Michelin star restaurant, and just taking up the space, as much space as we can in the restaurant, and on a busy night like a Friday night when it's fully booked and we're just taking up loads of seats, and just by sitting there calmly and trying to have like conversations with staff or members of the public if they want to engage with us, that's just like really disruptive, and we often get carried out of the restaurant and things. But yeah, that's like the low end of the scale, but it's like a good action to start with for most people.
I've read that you have big plans for this summer.
Well, we've got a dog race coming up, the Greyhound Derby. So yeah, we've done, obviously, like I think we've done 3 or 4 horse races now. So the next action, I thought we'd change things up a bit, but yeah, stick to like the racing side of things. But yeah, in the UK, dog racing is still a thing. I believe in the US, I think greyhound racing is still happening.
We don't have a lot of it left. It's almost gone. It still exists.
Same in the UK. It's like, I think it's on its last legs, and it's like, yeah, greyhound race tracks are like closing all over the UK. There's still some open. I think there's only about 7 countries in the world that still have greyhound racing. So yeah, I think it is one of those things that, yeah, I think a lot of people just don't even know it's still going on. And when you do find out, yeah, most people are just don't think it's necessary.
It's terrible.
And yeah, we wanted to highlight that. And so yeah, there's like one big kind of like greyhound race derby final thing in Toaster. So yeah, we've openly announced that we're going to target this this race. The plan is similar to horse races, to get onto the track. The idea is to disrupt the races, stop those dogs from having to race that day. The ideal scenario is that people get on the track, they glue on to like fences and things.
How do they glue on?
Like a common tactic in like civil disobedience or direct action is to use like just regular super glue. So you can just like hide it wherever in your pocket, just a little tube of super glue. And then just before you want to glue onto something, you just unscrew it, pop it on your hand or wherever, whatever part of your body you want to use to glue onto something. And then you just stick your hand onto like the fence, or I could like glue onto another person if they're glued onto something else, or if it's like a line of people, they could all be glued on together. So then it's really hard for the police to drag them off the track.
How do you get it off eventually?
They usually use like acetone, which is basically like nail varnish remover. Or it's possible to like slowly peel it off. I have seen police rip people's hands off things as well, which is not nice. It's just like a really quick way to lock on or glue onto something. And so, the aim is to get onto the track and disrupt that race and stop the dogs from having to go through that.
They know you're coming, so there'll be a huge police presence.
Yeah, we're expecting heavy police and security presence. I guess seeing like having like the police, like the way that they act as well, it makes us, I don't know, look like, well, we are the rational ones, but yeah, just like a heavy police presence. I mean, yeah, it just doesn't help them either.
No, it looks insane.
But I don't know if we're going to get as much of a police presence as with the Grand National, because the Grand National was so big. I think with the Greyhound racing, it's so much easier to get the public on board. I hope that we can still have that conversation about all animals through the action. But we'll see how it goes.
What else do you have this summer?
This year, we're planning more like open rescues. So rescues of farmed animals, because obviously we have done, we've been doing like the beagles and, we actually did a lamb liberation earlier a few weeks ago as well. It was myself and two other women liberated three lambs from a royal farm. So the lambs are actually property of King Charles.
No way.
Yeah, we found that out when we were arrested. They actually confirmed it because we weren't sure. I was like, oh no, I'm probably in big trouble now.
Did you get away with it and then return yourselves in, or did you get caught?
Yeah, we took the lambs, got away, got them to safety, and then we went and handed ourselves in to a police station. I think the police officer was quite confused when we arrived. So you've got on the front page again. So I think that was one of our goals for this year, was to get on the front page of a newspaper with an open rescue, because, I don't know if anyone's achieved that before anywhere in the world. So that was exciting. We want some more open rescues to talk more about farm animals, because we don't just want to be known for like horse racing and dog racing. We need to talk about those animals. Well, the most exploited animals in the world are farmed animals, food. And then the big thing at the end of August, we're going to have a massive march. At the end of the year, end of August, every year, there's always like a big animal rights march. And we've been organizing it the last few years as Animal Rebellion. This year, we're doing it obviously as Animal Rising. We're kind of revamping it. It's going to be a really, really fun day. It's going to be, a little bit of like vegan chaos around London. And it's going to be something for everyone as well. It's definitely not about getting arrested or anything like that. It's about everyone. We want everyone to come together, just speak up for the animals. And we'll just see what happens.
I've been watching since, the past few years, and it is so impressive what you're doing. And it gets better every time. Like it's like a new thing every 2 weeks and something. It's even bigger and better. And it's so impressive how much press you're getting and how many conversations you're starting. So thank you for all of that.
That's okay. It's definitely not just me.
No, I know. But for you and everyone else doing it, it's massive. So congratulations and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
This was great. Thank you, Rose.
To learn more about Rose, to learn more about Animal Rising, go to our website, speciesunite.com. We'll have links to everything. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare moment and can do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com, and click donate. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knudsen, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, Ayana Peoples, Olivia Deming, and Anna Kollner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.